the clock.
Bandar Aceh, Indonesia.
Bringing you live coverage.
One now, Bilal.
Breaking news.
Ambulances.
Held hostage.
Screaming through the street.
Pakistan. At that moment.
Useful information all the time. Subscribe with CII and be part of the global family. CII. The world is listening. Are you?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Friday edition. Of course, my name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It's great to have you here with me on this October 10th, 2008. So many things are happening in the world, ladies and gentlemen. So many disturbing things in countries of, all around the globe. We are seeing problems financially. We're seeing problems with free speech issues. We're seeing problems with people's health. We're seeing poisoning of our environment. We're seeing things that only I could never have imagined the level of problems that I see on a daily basis when I was a young man. Being 51 years old, I've got a perspective now, and you know, the wisdom of my age is telling me that we are in the last throes of a civilized world, based upon the deterioration of personal relationships, of the use of pornography, the scuttling of rights within people's societies. You're losing your civil liberties. You're losing your ability to fight back against the power that controls your communities. In the United States, a nation that was founded on the rights of the individual and on the rights of people to have property in their own names and to live a life free of interference, all of those original goals of the United States are finished. They're gone. The dollar itself has been usurped and crippled by corruption and crime, and now even issues of free speech are being destroyed worldwide. I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, living here in France, I live in a country where I cannot say the things I wish to say, regardless of their importance to me or others, because if I were to be as honest as I wanted to be, it could land me in a courtroom or even worse, jail. More often than not, people are attacking you and your character for having taking on the right to free speech. But it's getting worse than that even. There are some people, and I will use his name right now. His name's Professor Ferrisson here in France, who not only has been jailed for free speech issues, but he's been beaten in the street by thugs from a group of supremacist, parasitic peoples who have used their position of power to thwart anyone's right to speak freely in this world. And it's getting worse. It's not getting better. The United States right now is beginning to change its laws of free speech. I have also been asked by the South African government to stop broadcasting on this radio station. And so free speech issues are very much alive in the South African market as well. The CII received a letter from the government saying that they wanted me to stop broadcasting. And to the credit of CII, they took the courageous stand of saying, no, there's nothing that this man has said that he can't prove. And so the truth is a perfect defense against quieting someone's free speech rights. But that is not true everywhere. And we're going to talk to someone who knows firsthand about free speech issues. And knowing that truth is involved in what you're saying is not a defense in some places. So let me bring up my guest right now. Her name is Lady Michelle Renouf. She is living in Great Britain, and I would like to bring her up right now. Lady Michelle Renouf, are you with me?
I certainly am. Very proud to be with you, and salam alaikum to our Muslim friends.
Well, you know something, Lady Michelle, I have to tell you, when I think about the Sylvia Stoltz defense of Ernst Zundel and having a judge actually tell that courtroom that the truth is not a defense for free speech, it's a shocker to me, but that is the truth in the nation of Germany, is it not?
Well, that phrase actually came from the Supreme Court of Ontario in Canada, where truth is no defense. That was a shocking indictment against our civilization, which is based on the inseparable nature of scientific attitude and justice. The lawyers must be allowed to bring in evidential exhibits in support of their clients' claims. But in Mannheim, I have seen in Germany and in various other countries now, because I'm taking a very great interest in this jailing of opinion. In fact, I made a DVD called Jailing Opinions. There is a website called Jailing Opinions. It's not mine, but it's named after my DVD, and it covers a lot of my activities. Your listeners may wish to have a look there.
Well, not only will they be able to do that, Lady Michelle, I will be placing that video on my front page, and we get tens and tens of thousands of people per day on the site, so everybody will be able to take a look at the DVD you've made.
That's very good. That's very good indeed. Because in Mannheim, I have heard the judge say this most remarkable statement. Pardon me, where he says to the defense lawyers that they are acting. He warns them they are acting, I quote, too much on the side of their clients and must be dismissed. I mean, truly, it is grotesque. It's almost hilarious if it weren't so serious, because in any other part of the world, when you are, even if you're an axe murderer, you are entitled to have your lawyer act in your defense. The concept the client's defense is complete craziness.
Right, but don't they teach you in law school to be as vigorous in defense of your client as you can possibly be?
Well, surely that is the position, but you see, each time these lawyers want to put in what is called evidential exhibits, i.e. they want to try and prove the position of their client, they are actually threatened with prosecution themselves. The lawyers are. So I'm doing a sequel now to Jailing Opinions DVD, and we call Jailing the Lawyers. Because
Lady Michelle, can you tell the listeners here in South Africa a little bit about the story of Sylvia Stoltz? This woman's monologue at her sentencing was actually one of the great speeches of our modern era. She was so stoic and strong against these criminals of the court of Germany that it inspired me to become even more aggressive at my fight against these criminals. But it was a powerful statement. She said, "Look, you guys are committing a crime here. Do you want to go on and tell them that how history is going to treat them?"
Well, you know, I call it twist speak. All of these actions are the deliberate reversing of the truth, so that what she says is true, and how they respond to her is with twist speak. They are making her the culprit, whereas in fact they are the culprit and she is the victim, because
That's right.
She is simply wanting to do her job.
Yep.
Of what she's supposed to do as a lawyer. And they are claiming that she is actually not doing the job. It is the state of the art, of course, for your Muslim listeners, is the situation in Palestine and Israel, where our press constantly put across this twist-speak idea that the Palestinians are the culprits and the Israelis are the victims. And it
yep.
is simply mind-blowingly absurd, to the extent that one... These people are driven to having to deal with this issue because the so-called civilized world turns its back. And I have to say, I am ashamed of how we have turned in Britain, how we have turned our back on the plight of the Palestinians. And really and truly, these people everywhere who stand up and challenge this seemingly invincible, like Hamas, people, it's simply inspiring, really,
yeah.
to see people who will risk starvation in the case of Hamas sooner than collude with the lie that Israel has any decent intention. As a matter of fact, it has no moral right to exist, because it had Birobidjan 4 years ago. It celebrated its 70th anniversary of Birobidjan, which is the Jewish autonomous region on the border of China and Russia, on the southeast border, where they've had no problem, and in 1948 there was simply no political impediment to the refugees going there, where the creation of that state had never displaced anyone, unlike Palestine, which displaced and intended to displace these people when it was announced in 18... 18- 96.
Well, isn't it? I mean, very powerful forces, Lady Michelle, were involved in the selection process of that area. And, of course, you know that the caliphate of the Ottoman Empire was overthrown in order to destabilize that region enough
well,
so that...
We have it in their own words. In the founder of Zionism, Theodor Herzl, who wrote the manifesto, the Jewish state, he says that because the last Sultan would not sell them Palestine, he said that how we will do this is we will play off the empires, create the jealousies, and by this means we will get Palestine. Palestine being the biggest advertising logo on the planet, of course. That's why it's necessary as a headquarters for this.
But what it's afforded these criminals, and that's I'll call them what they are, these criminals, it's afforded them a place to commit their crimes from and run back.
It's an international boat hold, yes.
Yes, and you remember in the Wild West we had a place called the Hole in the Wall in Missouri when the criminal Jesse James would rob things, he would run to this valley in Missouri, and it was full of wanted criminals, and they were safe there because no law enforcement was there, no national law enforcement was there, and I call them the hole-in-the-wall country because every time an Israeli commits a crime in a nation around the world, they are quickly swept out of the nation they commit the crime in and brought back to Israel to face no charges.
Well,
and,
that brings us to this conversation I would love to have with you because it's happening in London right now with this European arrest warrant. Because when General Almog from Israel was coming into London and some brave souls in Bow Street Magistrates Court here actually put out an arrest warrant for him, when he landed, the plane actually was turned around and went back to Israel before he could be arrested. Now, that's what happened in that situation. But in the current situation that's happening right now in London, in the Magistrates Court today, was a man, an Australian national, who had come from America. He was flying from America to Dubai and in transit at Heathrow in the same plane when it landed, and of course he hadn't the power to suddenly have the plane turn around and refuse to be arrested, and he was a person who is not a criminal, who is not as these people are in Israel, none of that, no such crime has he ever committed, much less over 100 years. And here he is, arrested on that plane, taken to Wandsworth Prison, where he was in fact defending himself, which of course is a disaster in any circumstance, because, you know, people do have this childhood fantasy that courts are about justice and truth and poetic things, frankly, where in fact courts are simply dealing with law and legalese and codes. So had he continued to defend himself, he would now be sitting in prison in Mannheim for no crime except an opinion for 5 to 20 years, and we would not know what we do know in our newspapers, thank goodness, today, because when I saw him heard of this case, I immediately started to get a defense team together for him that is an expert in extradition law, because now he is still in prison, but we are now having this situation where we can show people that this law is actually allowing something that we don't regard as illegal in this country slipping underneath our rug and into our courts and allowing a precedent to be set so that this Holocaust so-called denial becomes a law in this country without it being a law. And the one thing that has happened at the moment, that has been arrested, as it were. It has been arrested. This slipping underneath the carpet.
Well, that's right, because British, Lady Michelle, the British common law works off of an ideal of precedence. And what you've just stated is that had this been allowed to go forward, a precedent would have been set for a future court to use.
That's right. And it would have been, rather, if I can quote the Index on Censorship website, where it says, if Tobin, that's the gentleman we're speaking of, Dr. Frederick Tobin, is extradited after his hearing on Friday, well, actually it was been postponed today, at the City of Westminster Magistrates Court, it may put us in the peculiar position where Holocaust denial, so-called, is acknowledged as a crime by the UK courts without actually being a crime under UK law. And that's what would have happened if this poor chap had continued to defend himself. He would have been absolutely exploited, and we would now be entering a police state where expressing an opinion that someone somewhere doesn't like or doesn't want to have anybody else here, and they can be arrested and extradited without our even knowing about it. So it's a very, very, very serious thing that's happening here, and I'm very pleased to say that so far it has come to the attention of many newspapers, and they are basically refusing to agree that we can just simply pass this extradition matter and let this man be imprisoned, and therefore our opinions be imprisoned in this way.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things that I'd like to discuss with you is the international reach of this criminal syndicate. Because Canada was able, in the Canadian case of Ernst & Zundel, they were able to reach into America and then bring
a
man.
They kidnapped him. They kidnapped the man. He was in Tennessee with his wife, and apparently he seemed to have overstayed his visa by a couple of days. I mean, there are Mexicans who have never acquired a visa, and the law has allowed them to stay. So this is a political issue. The man had he had actually applied to extend his visa, and he was there with his wife. He was kidnapped. The tragedy was that when they took him and put him into solitary confinement in a Canadian prison for 2 years, they should have actually used the law in the way it can be used, i.e. to defend him as a kidnapping, not as some other sort of argument. You simply must use the legal courts with the experts who know how to argue the legal case, not the poetic truth and justice case. It cannot be argued in a court.
Lady Michelle, what you're saying is that someone should have examined his circumstance and found the best possible defense based upon the law, rather than maybe the romantic vision of being able to have a free speech environment, but rather what right did they have to put a man in a prison sentence before he had any charges against him for any reason? So what you're saying is basically they took the wrong approach.
The act was illegal. What I'm saying is the act was illegal, Darrell. You're quite right.
Yes.
And the same in this case. The act itself is illegal because in this country we do not have this so-called Holocaust denial law. And by the way, Holocaust denial is a phrase that is intended, it's a propaganda phrase, it's intended to give the false impression that people would ever argue that nothing horrible happened to the Jews during the war. I know of no one who makes such an absurd idea, but that phrase tries to suggest it. What these revisionists, these so-called Holocaust revisionists, as they call themselves, want to do is that they have revisionism is not an ideology, it's a method. And the method is applying source criticism, normal historical inquiry, into historical events.
Right.
And that is the proper processing of history. There is no such thing as historical truth, as a bottom line.
Lady Michelle, look at the trouble the World Press gave President Ahmadinejad for convening that conference in Tehran, calling him every name in the book. That they called him Hitler and Satan, and I mean how they got away with this, and I want to bring this up because it's very important. It's the press that is controlled by this syndicate, this crime gang, this Zionist crime gang, that uses its power, and they'll go to any length within that control they have of the press to vilify and destroy the character of anyone. Now, I must tell you, and you may not know this, that I was brought on Paula Zahn's show, which is a CNN show on in the United States, and they vilified me. And I, the things they were trying to say about me were absolutely...
Isolate and criminalize, Daryl. These are the three words. Demonize, isolate, or ostracize, and criminalize. That is the process by which they smear and ruin people's reputations and make them fearful. And what bothers me is this unnecessary fear we have if we all stood up and said we are not going to tolerate this nonsense. It's real, the fear that people have, because they do lose their reputations. They are criminalized. They are ostracized. But if we all stopped and started to challenge the seemingly invincible, then we wouldn't have this nonsense, because it is not invincible. It's just that we all agree to be cowards. And this is why I so admire the stance of the voters of Hamas, because they will not collude with the lie that this organization can be negotiated with reasonably and rationally. It's not reasonable. It's not rational, Zionism. It's criminal. It's rogue. And there are many Jews who disapprove of it.
Yes.
Particularly the Neturei Karta rabbis, who want a peaceful dismantling of Israel. And in fact, they came to the Tehran conference. Everybody was invited to that Tehran conference. It wasn't a Holocaust revisionist conference. It was a Holocaust review conference, so we could have a debate, which we are refused, in our European countries. Because you even have in our press today where they say, we respect debate, yet they don't want debate on revisionism. They absolutely criminalize any forensic investigation into this area of history.
Well, let me ask you this: who the they? You keep using the word they, Lady Michelle, and I wanna get into that for a moment, because I live in a country where the they is extraordinarily powerful. France.
Well, I call it World Zionism.
Well, it is World Zionism, but the they, specifically the they in each country, is a little different, although they all work for the same masters. My point is, France is the most Zionist-controlled country in Europe. Even though the courts of Germany have proven to be the most vile, the government itself, where I'm at, certainly is the most controlled.
Daryl, actually, this country, Britain, has been an occupied country with a proto-Zionist ruler since 1858, when we had Disraeli, because he introduced into this country leading Zionist activist of Rothschild into our parliament to represent Britons in parliament. Now, how can that be? How can that be reasonable and sensible when the concepts of the Talmudic laws are incompatible with Christian and Muslim laws? They simply are. That's what the two prophets brought us. The understanding that these laws, these Talmudic laws, are misanthropic and not in the interests of anybody. And this is not something we are allowed to speak on now.
But
it's a fact, and we must look at it.
I'm watching the dismantling of the moral character and the moral compass of our world through perversion and pornography and sickening programming on television and in our press. I mean, the advertising, and it's really a destruction of morality that has been insidious. It's been a march in only one direction, worse and worse. Now we see our young people maiming themselves and destroying their own bodies visually. It's just turned into a...
Total despair that the world turns its back on decency and justice.
That's
what has happened.
It's an abomination.
We must identify who is the terrorist and who is the response to this. Who is the terrorist and who is the response, the cause and the effect, and we're not allowed to speak about that. Well, I do say that Israel there was no terrorism in the Middle East before the advent of Israel. And Israel did not need to exist in Palestine. It already had a homeland for the Jewish people since 1928. And it was firmly established in 1934 and thoroughly supported by American Jews who, it's 32 square thousand kilometers. It's about the size of Switzerland, the Jewish autonomous region called Birobidzhan. It still exists. It's existed all that time when they, in 1948, the Zionists said, we want a homeland. The Jews haven't got a homeland. The Jews did have a homeland, and it was a safe place, and there was no impediment, and there still isn't an impediment. And this was a big lie, and we need to go look at the very beginning of this issue and not be put off and sent on red herrings by the Holocaust. The Holocaust was 50 years before Herzl announced the euphemism that they would disappear the entire population of Palestine and that they wanted this imposture of the Nile to the Euphrates. We must examine this carefully and we must not be put off by this nonsense that it's called hate. It's called investigation. And I really insist that we must look at who is the culprit and stop demonizing Islam.
Well, you know, in my website, I've collected books together that have been out of print by people like Myron Fagan and Cecil Roth and Smedley Butler and Elizabeth Dilling it goes on and on here. Charles Conklin, the Catholic priest from America. I've got so many books on this site, John Beattie, and all of them. Now, the reason I'm bringing up all these names is because people have known about this, Lady Michelle. People are aware that this crime wave has been building itself a stronger base and becoming more emboldened as time goes on. It is not a mystery to people who have read any of these books. These books date back 100 years, 150 years.
Well,
my point is this. We've been battling these people.
Gradualness is the way it's done. Gradualness.
Right. But my point is we've known about their crimes, and what is it we're going to take for us to get the kind of groundswell against these monsters, and I'll call them what they are, they're monsters. What is it we're going to need to do to get a groundswell against them so that we can at least slow and then ultimately stop and then reverse the damage they've done to our world?
Well, I think we have to insist that we have a democratic press, that you in America would have a proper democratic society in which you don't have all your presidential candidates having to be pro-Zionist. That is not democracy. We must insist upon democracy in our media. We must have an alternative. Now, Press TV, the Iranian website here, offers exactly what the Tehran conference offered. That is balance. What we claim to be our Western democracy, they actually offer. And that is a fact. The fact that the anti-revisionist crowd don't want debate and refuse the invitations, like Professor Norman Finkelstein refused to go to Tehran. You'll see on that website, Jading Opinions, where I have a debate with him on television about this, and he says the bottom line is this. But he says he's a scientist, but there is no bottom line in science. You have to examine the bottom line first before you establish that is the bottom line. You don't just say, well, we believe the earth is flat, and from then on, we'll argue it. You know,
he has done a lot in certain ways, but
I respected him for that. But now I'm beginning to believe that the man has sort of fallen for this terrible imposture, that he'd rather give up his intellectual honesty than give up the concept of this Zionist nonsense, this imposture. It's a vanity kick.
I've had interviews with Israel Shamir from
very good
Israel.
Man. Yes, a very very good man. Yes.
Yes, he is, and he's willing even from Israel to get down into the crimes that he sees being committed and having been committed and talks freely about them.
Yes.
But then again, you know, I've also interviewed Mr. Vanunu. And as soon
yes,
as I made my second...
a very, very brave man. My goodness,
yes.
we should toast to him every evening for the bravery of exposing this terrible